Today we will be doing Daf Tesvav and Meseches Chagiga. We left off about seven lines from the bottom of Yudal Amud Beis. Today we're going to discuss very, very intriguing and interesting topics, primarily the concept of the Pardes and the four individuals who entered the Pardes, followed by an intense discussion of Acher, of Elisha ben Avuya that went off the Derech, and learning from those who go off the derech, who once were Talmid Chacham and now are no longer Talmid Chachamim. So let's get right into it. Seven lines from the bottom, Yudal Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Arba nichnesu bepardes. There were four who entered the pardes. Now, just what is the pardes? So Tosfos says that these four tzaddikim, they reached a level where they were able to say the Shem Hashem, but they didn't actually go anywhere. This was all like a dream. It was like a vision. Rashi says that they went up to the Rakia through saying Shem Hashem. The Marsha says the Pardes is like Gan Eden. It's reserved for Tzadikim. Sefer HaYasha and Marsha quote says it means the Pardes HaChachma, meaning these Chacham were in tune with the Chachma of God. Either way, a very spiritual place. These are four individuals. Ve'eluhein, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Lamar Bikiva. Bikiva told the other three, Kishatem Magin Itzel Avnei Sheish Tahor. When you approach the Avnei Sheish Tahor, what's the Avnei Sheish Tahor? It's a type of rock, a clear rock. When you approach this, Al Tomru Mayim Mayim, even though it might look like water because it's clear, don't say Mayim Mayim. Pshim Shanemar Dover Shkarim Lo Yachon Leneged Eini. Hashem doesn't want liars near him, and if it's not water, don't say it's water. So Ben Azai hits its umes. Ben Azai was hits its. He stared at the Shechina. So Rashi says, and he died because the pasuk says in the Torah of Lo Yiruni HaAdam V'Chai. Right, when Moshe requested to see God, God said, "If you look at me, you'll die." And so over here, Ben Azai looked at God, and therefore he died. But the Maharsha says that's not pshat because the Gemara says, how precious is someone who dies in this way? So if Ben Azai was not supposed to look and he did, then why is his death so precious? So the Marsha says, no, the pshat is he was so connected to God in that moment that his neshama left his guf. Like his neshama and his guf became one as he experienced complete tranquility. So his death wasn't due to any sin, it was actually achieving the highest level of godliness. Ben Zoma hits its benifka. Ben Zoma looked at God. He became crazy. He had a mental breakdown. He should fill up on honey, but don't eat too much because you'll become too satiated and you'll throw up. So apparently, Ben Zoma, in a certain sense, got too close. Acher kitzitz benetios. Acher was cutting from the seeds, was picking from the seeds. And this goes along with the mushal of the fact that they're in a pardes, but we'll see that Acher's problem was he divided, he felt that the Shemayim was divided into two different reshuyos. There wasn't only one God. Rabbi Akiva, the fourth person, Yatzeh B'Shalom, he went in peace, left in peace. He had no problems in the pardes. So Sholas Ben Zoma. So Rashi points out they wanted to see if Ben Zoma was still mentally incapacitated, if he still was going crazy. So they asked him a couple halachic questions. So first they asked him, Mahu l'sruse kalva, can you castrate a dog? And the background over here, Rashi points out, is that the context of castration being usher in the Torah is specifically about karbanos. We know a dog in no way, shape, or form can be brought as a karbon. So does the issur of castration apply to a dog as well? So Amar Lahem, Ben Zoma said, "Uba'artzechem lo sasu." It says, in your land, you may not do this castration. So kol sheba'artzechem lo sasu. So any animal in your land, including a dog, you cannot castrate. Shalu es Ben Zoma, they asked him another question. Besula she'ivra mal kohen gadol. So we know a kohen gadol, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, besula me'amea yikach, has to marry a besula, a kohen gadol has to marry her. Question is, a besula who's pregnant, how is that possible? Well, she's claiming that, I don't know what happened. Maybe I was in a bath, and maybe something happened in the bath, as we'll see in a second. So the question is, ma'al kohen gadol, michai shinu l'dishmuel, are we concerned for Shmuel's opinion? De Amar Shmuel, as Shmuel says in Maseches Nidah, Yochol ani livol kama bi'ilos b'lodam. Right, it's possible to have intercourse, to have relations on an angle where there's no blood and the basulim are never actually broken. So she can claim I'm a basula, and it might be technically true that her basulim are there, but she's had relations many times, and therefore that's why the basulim are showing, but she's pregnant, and therefore she would not be permitted to a kohen gadol, because it's not about simply having your basulim, you have to have never had relations before. So are we choshesh that perhaps her person who she slept with was able to do it in this way like Shmuel? Odilma de Shmuel lo shchicha. Or maybe that's, you have to be a certain expert in that, and most people are not. So Amalahu, so Ben Zoma responded, de Shmuel lo shchiach. It's not common for someone to be able to perform relations like that. So the Gemara says, b'chayshin Hashem v'am bati yivra. So maybe she's not a liar. Maybe she became pregnant, as Rashi points out. She was in a bath. A man was in the bath very soon before, and he released Shechvat Zera, and then the Zera floated into her body through the bath. Aye, but how can that even be a possibility? But if the Zera, if the semen doesn't shoot out like an arrow, then it's not able to impregnate her. So if it was just floating there in the bath, it didn't come in with any speed, so then how is it even possible that's a viable option of how she became pregnant? So the Gemara answers, Me'ikaranam yorkechatzava. It doesn't mean that it has to enter her fast like an arrow. It just means that it has to leave the man's body shooting out like an arrow. So if the man was in the bath previously, and it came out of him like an arrow, and then maybe an hour or two later, she goes in the bath and it floats into her, that's a viable option of how it could have impregnated her. And so it sounds like it's possible that we might believe her and might permit her to a Kohen Gadol on the ground that she really is a basula, she has her basula, and she became pregnant just because this Zera sort of floated into her. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Maisa Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya Shaya Omid Al-Gav Maila Baharabayis. He was standing at a certain high level platform on Harabayis. And Ben Zoma sees him, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, and Ben Zoma doesn't stand up. He doesn't give him kavod. So Amar lo, Mayan lion. So what's going on here? Rashi points out, where are you coming from? What are you distracted with that you didn't stand up for me? Interesting lashon over here, Mayan lion. The Marshal points out that there is a girsi here which says they met on the road, and so it could be he's saying, where are you coming from? But the Marshal says the Pshat in his language, it's a reference to the Mishnah in Avos, which says, Me'ayin Basa, that a person should always be thinking about where you came from, meaning a tipa srucha, you came from a putrid little moist substance. And then, La'ayin is La'ayin Holich. Where are you going? You're going to the Afar, you're going to the dust. And he was saying this because he thought Ben Zoma wasn't standing for him out of haughtiness. So he was saying to him, giving him Musar, and saying, lower yourself. I mean, think about where you came from, where you're going, you're not that great. But Ben Zoma responds that he actually was distracted. So Ben Zoma Omar lo, Tzofa Yisi Ben Mayim Al Yonim Lain Tavtonim. I was distracted. In my mind, I was contemplating the separation between the upper waters and the lower waters. We know at the time of creation, God, initially the world was just a big fishbowl, and then God had to divide the waters into the upper waters and lower waters in order for there to be air and put land in there. So in bein zelazel, shol shetzvos velvad, and the space between the upper and lower waters is only 3 fingers length. Shenemar ruach elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim. That the ruach elokim, which we're saying is like the upper waters, is merachefes al pnei hamayim. It like floats right on top of the lower waters. Like a dove that hovers right above its children in the nest, but doesn't actually touch them. So it's only 3 etzpaos in between. Amar lahen. So he says, Rabbi Yeshua Talmidav, Adayim Ben Zoma Mibachutz. If Ben Zoma gave this explanation of the separation between the upper and lower waters, it must be he's still mentally not fully there. Why? Because Michti. Beruach Elokim Rachefes Al Pnei Amayim Imas Havei B'yom HaRishon. I mean, that pasuk was stated on the first day of creation. But when were the upper and lower waters separated? Havdalah b'yom sheni hu dahavai. That was on day 2 of creation. Dechsiv, v'hi mavdil b'imayim l'mayim. That's when God separated the waters. So if Ben-Azeh was able to make such a simple mistake with respect to Pesukim at the beginning of being a Bereishis, it must be he's not really fully mentally there, still from the Pardes. So v'kama. So, in fact, how much space is there? between the upper and lower waters. Some Rav Acha bar Yaakov kimlo neima, like a hair's breadth. Rabbanan Amar ki gudid de gamla. It's so short. It's like the planks on, the space between the planks on a bridge. Marzutra v'itim Ravasi Amar kitrei glimi de parsi ahadadi. It's like two cloaks, one on top of the other. V'amrila kitrei kisei de schifi ahadadi, or like two chairs that are inversed, one on top of the other. So now the key sugya for today is Acher. Kitzis b'netiyo. So Acher went to the Pardes and he was picking seeds. So what does that mean? Allah v'kasiv omer al titen es picha l'chati es pisarecha. Don't have your mouth cause your mouth to sin with your skin. So Maihi, what actually happened over there? What did Acher see that caused him to go off the derech? So Chaza Metatron, he saw there was an angel called Metatron. This Yavale Rishusa Chadashaisa Biyoma, that once a day he had permission. Lemesav Lemichtav Zechusa de Yisrael. He was able to sit right next to God and write down the Zechuyos of Klal Yisrael. So Amar, so Acher says, Gemiria, we have a tradition. The Lamal and Shemayim, Lohavi lo yeshiva, lo sachros, lo oref, lo ifoy. There's no sitting in Shemayim, anyone except for God. There's no sachros. There's nothing like that. There's nothing that's going to allow people to rise to that level. Lo oref, there's no back of the neck. Tachros here means competition. There's no ifoy. There's no tiredness. So the fact that I see Metatron sitting, Shemachas v'shalom, Shnei Rishuyos, maybe Yesh v'shamayim, meaning maybe there's two gods. Maybe there's not only one God. Chas v'shalom. So afkihu l'metatron. So God at that moment took Metatron. L'chayu shisin pulsei denura. He whipped him with 60 pulses of fire. And Amar Lei, he said to Metatron, my taima ki chazisei lo kamas makmei. How come when Acher came and saw you, you didn't stand up in front of an earthly being? So it's yayev le reshusel mimcha k'zuchusei de Acher. But Hashem allowed Metatron to erase the Zechuyos of Acher. Now, parenthetically, why did Metatron get lashes over here with 60 pulses of fire if he did nothing wrong? So Toso says it was to show Acher that Metatron had no power other than Hashem. The Marsha points out that Toso needed to say this because the reason the Gemara of Metatron not standing up for Acher wouldn't warrant such a strict punishment of lashes of fire. So it must be that it's just to show Acher there really is only one power. So Yatz the Bas Kol V'Amra, at that moment a heavenly voice came out and said, Shuvu Banim Shovim Chutz Mi'Acher. All my sons have the power to return to do tshuva, except for Acher. So it sounds like, and the Bach adds, Shiyada Kvodi Umarbi. He knew me, he was very intimate with me, meaning Acher was once a Talmud Chacham, and he rebelled against me. So Amar Ho V'Itrit Hu Gavra Mi Hu Alma. So Acher says to himself, you know, once I pretty much have no chance in this world, right? I have a baskol that told me I can't do tshuva. So lefik lisni b'hayama. So why don't I just make it worth it? I'll do whatever I can in this world. I don't have to be good. It doesn't matter anyway. Now, this is a very interesting concept. What does it mean that a baskol said that Acher can't do tshuva? I thought anyone could do tshuva. Isn't that one of our fundamental beliefs that everyone could do tshuva? So the Pirkei Kahuna over here says that tshuva is for someone who sins out of taiva, but out of desire, out of lust. Someone who sins because he's a kofer in emuna, he believes there are two gods, so he could see schar va'onesh, he thinks it's all happenstance. He will never accept musar. So technically he can do tshuva, we're just confident he never will. And that's why the Ian Yaakov actually has a gear so that Acher rebelled, meaning he became a kofer. But obviously Acher could technically do tshuva. It's also a little bit unfair over here. Meaning, if you or I heard a heavenly voice saying we could do tshuva, wouldn't we believe it also? So the Chida over here in the Pesach Einayim says we have a rule that we listen to everything except for a Baal Bayis that says leave. Meaning that if Hashem, whatever he tells you to do, you listen. Once he tells you, I don't want to see you anymore, then we don't listen to that. The Marsha says the same thing, that in Mashkichim Abaskol, that Acher should have recognized that the Baskol doesn't control him, that everyone has the power to do tshuva no matter what. So Nafak Acher L'Tarvos Ra, so he went off the derech. In what way? Nafak Ashkach Zona, he found a prostitute, Tava, and he seduced her. Amar Lei, she said to him, V'lav Elisha ben Avuyat, are you not the big Talmud Chacham, Elisha ben Avuyat? The Bach adds over here, Sheshimcha Yatza B'chol Aretz, you're a very famous Talmud Chacham. So Akar Pugla Mi Mishra B'Shabbos, at that moment he uprooted a radish from an orchard, from a garden, on Shabbos, showing that he's going to violate a malacha on Shabbos. V'yahavla, and he gave it to her. So Amrash said to him, Acherhu, it must be your someone else. And that's how he got the name Acher, because this zoner, this prostitute, called him an Acher, called him someone else, because although he looked like Elisha ben Avuya, and that seemed to be, everyone recognized him as such, the fact that he was acting in a different way, it must be that Acher, who he's someone else. So Shaul Acher is Remeir, L'Acher Shaul Tavaz Ra. So Remeir was a Talmud of Elisha ben Avuya, of Acher. So after Acher went off the Derech, he started to ask his Talmud, Remeir, certain questions, but really the questions were just to antagonize him. So Amar Leh said to Remeir, what does it mean that God makes things corresponding to each other? So Amar Leh, so Remeir says, everything that Hashem creates in this world, Bara Kenegdo, he creates a counterpart. Bara Harim, Bara Gvo, he creates mountains, he creates valleys. Bara Yamin, Bara Naharos, oceans and rivers. Amar Leh Rikiva, Rab Chalo Amar Kach. So Acher says to Remeir, that's not what your Rebbe Rabbi Kiva taught us. Ela bar tzadikim bar rishayim, bar gan eden bar gehenim. No, the counterparts are tzadikim rishayim, gan eden gehenim, kolachad ve'echad yesh lo shtei chalakim, echad began eden ve'echad gehenim. Every person starts out created with one portion opportunity in gan eden and one in gehenim. Zacha, tzadik, if you're zocha to be a tzadik, you'll end up getting your own portion in Gan Eden, and you'll take someone else's who never made it to Gan Eden. Nischaiv Rasha, if you become a Rasha, you'll get your portion in Gehenim, and you'll get the Tzadik's portion that was allocated from Gehenim that he never used, you'll get that as well. Amra Misharsha, Mikra, how do you know this? That this source, that you get sort of a double portion in wherever you end up? Because Ksiv, because it says by Gabay Tzadikim Tziv, Lachim Ba'artzom Mishne Yirshu. In your land, you'll inherit double. Gabay Rishon Tziv U'Mishne Shivron Shivrim. And you'll inherit double of the brokenness, meaning of Gehenna. So another question. Shal Acheres Remeir, Lachar Shiaz Tavaz Ara, after he went off the Derech, Maydich Tziv Lo Yar Kena Zahavus Chuches Wutmurasa Klei Paz. What does it mean that the value you won't find like of gold and glass, and you can't exchange it for anything? So Amr Lo, so Remeir says, this is referring to Elu Divrei Torah. It's referring to words of Torah, Limud Torah. Shekashim leknosan kikli zahav uklipaz. It's hard to acquire, like gold and fine materials. However, v'nochen la'avdan kikli zechuchis. But it's so easy to forget and break, like glass. So it has that double-edged sword. It's so hard to acquire, and once you acquire it, it's very easy to lose. So Amr Lo Rabbi Kiva Rachalu Amar Kach. So Acher says, that's not what our Rabbi Kiva taught us. Ella makli zavu kli zechuches. What about just like gold and glass? Halalu. Afal pi shenish berishon takana. Even if gold and glass break, they can be reconstituted. Af tamil chacham. Afal pi shesarach yesh lo takana. A tamil chacham who goes off the derech, he can also be reconstituted. He can be rectified. There can be tshuva for him. So Amar Lo, so Remeir said, okay, you said it, so why don't you take that, your own advice, or Rabbi Kiva's advice? Apparently, anyone could do tshuva. So Amar Lo, Acher says, yeah, except for me. I heard from in Shemayim, from behind the partition, from the baskol, that everyone could do tshuva, except for Acher, except for me. Tanur Rabban, Maisa ba'Acher shei rochev al sus b'Shabbos. Acher was riding on a sus, a donkey on Shabbos, already not allowed. By a Remeir Mahalich Acher of Lomot Torah Mipiv. Amazing, the Remeir, even after Acher went off the Derech, he would still follow him around to learn Torah from him. So, Amar Lo Remeir, Chazer Lacharecha, Shekvar Shiarti Bikvei Susi, Ad Kan Tchum Shabbos. So, Acher is amazing, he's off the Derech, but he's saying to Remeir's Talmud, I already counted my horse's steps, that they are 2,000 amos, meaning we reached the Tchum Shabbos, so it's time for you to go back. You can't walk with me anymore. I saw the Marsha over here says that the Pshat, well, why couldn't Remeir count his own steps? The Pshat is that the Sus's steps would actually be shorter, and he actually wanted Remeir to go back because he wanted Remeir to ask him to do tshuva even earlier, meaning even Acher had this desire to do tshuva. So Amar Leh, Afatachos Rebecha. So Remeir responds, I could do tshuva, you could do tshuva too. I mean, you don't have to live like this. So Amar Leh, V'lo kfar amarti lecha, kfar shemati mechor ha-parga, tshuva nam sholim chuz mi Acher. Acher says, I told you already. The Baskel came out and said that no one can do, everyone can do tshuva except for me. Takfeyela be midrashe. Remeir wasn't satisfied. He grabbed Acher and took him to the base medrash. And back then, when they wanted a little siyata d'shmaya, they wanted a sign, they would go into a base medrash, they would ask a child what pasuk they were learning, and based on that, they would understand what they were supposed to do. So, Amar Leili Yenuka, pasuk li psuka. So Acher says to a child, tell me the pasuk you're learning. Amar lo, in shalom amar Hashem l'rishayim. There's going to be no peace for Rishayim. So Acher, again, took that as a bad sign for himself. Ayelu de Knish Dachrita, he went to a different shul. Amar Leili Yenuka, pasuk li psuka, tell me a pasuk. Amar lo, ki im techabsi b'neser v'tar b'decha buris nichta mavunecha l'fanai. No matter how much you try to clean your stain, I still see the stain. So again, that's also not a good sign for Acher. Basically saying that no matter how much you try to do tshuva, your sins will never be forgiven. Ala be'kish dachrit. He goes to another shul. Amar le, next amud, tesvavim beiz. See, the lenuka pasuk psuche. He says to a child, tell me a pasuk. Amar le, v'yat shadud ma ta'asi kil silbishi shani kita'adir adi zahav kisikri puch einecha lashav tasifi. Again, no matter what you could do, you're never going to be able to clean what you need to clean. It's never going to work. So he went to 13 shuls. Kulu paskle ki agavna. And they all explained psukim that alluded to the fact that you can't do tshuva if you're a rasha. So, lebasra at the last shul, amrele paskle puga, he said, tell me a pasuk. Amrele, ulu rasha amrele kim malachal saper chuke. And rasha said to a rasha, why are you even talking about me? Meaning, I know you're a rasha. However, Ahu Yenuka have megamgim belishne. The kid was stuttering a bit. He wasn't clear when he was talking. Ishtame kamada amar le ula Elisha amar lokim. Meaning the pasuk actually says ula Rasha amar lokim, but Elisha heard ula Elisha amar lokim. Meaning this was like really a stab in the gut over here that Elisha basically don't talk to me. You can't do tshuva at all. So, ikeda amre sakina havi bahade v'kari v'shadul teser b'nei kishti. Some say that Elisha Acher had a knife in his hand. He killed this child, cut up his body, and sent it to the 13 shuls, a piece each. Ikeda amre, and some say he didn't actually do it, but Amr, he said, I havi biyadi sakina havi karinale. If I had a knife, I would cut you up. Now, what's the significance of 13 shuls? So the Perkei Kuna says, it's gematria of the word echad. Meaning, Acher was kofer in Hashem Echad, since he thought there were two Rishuyos. Also, we know there are 13 Ikari Emunah that the Rambam counts. He was kofer in those as well. Or he was kofer in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, since he thought you couldn't do tshuva. That's the symbolism of the 13. So, kinach nafshi da Acher, when Acher died, Amri, they said in Shemayim, lo midan li dayne, lo la'amad aseh, that we can't send him to Gehenim, we also can't keep him here in Olam Haba. Why? Lise lo midin daini. We can't throw him right to Gehenim. Shem da asik bar raisa. He was a big Talmud Chacham. But we can't send him. We can't send him here. Keep him in Olam Haba. Why? Mishum dechata. Because he was a big sinner at the end of his life. So Amar Meir. Meir's Talmud said mutav de daini v'leisi la'ama. Let him start in Gehenim. He'll get cleansed from his sin, and then he'll go to Olam Haba. Da'asi, and that's where he'll go. Matai Amos, when will I die? Ve'ela Ashen Mikivro. So Meir basically promised that when he dies, the smoke will start emerging from Acher's grave. Kinach nafshei de Meir. In fact, when Meir died, Sala Kutcher Mikivrei de Acher, smoke started smoking from Acher's kever, almost as a sign that he's being cleansed in Gehenim. Amar B'Yochanan, Kvurasel Mikle Rabba, are you so mighty that you can strike your Rebbe? Meaning, it's not proper. It doesn't look proper that when the student dies, all of a sudden the Rebbe goes up in smoke. Alright? Cannot one of us take Acher and save him? Inakni biyad. If I took him with my hand, Mam Ramile, Man Amar, Man, would anyone object if I grabbed his hand from Gehenim and brought him to Olam Haba? So Amar Matai Amos Vechbe Asher Mikivro. So Rabbi Yochanan said that when I die, the smoke from Acher's kever will subside. And in fact, when Rabbi Yochanan died, the smoke stopped. Mikivre di Acher. And the eulogizer that spoke at Rabbi Yochanan's funeral started off by saying, that even the watch guard in the gate of Gehenim is no match for you. Essentially, because Rabbi Yochanan was able to go into Gehenim and pull out Acher and bring into Olam Haba because he caused the smoke to stop smoking from his kever. Bito shel Acher asal kamei de Rebbe. There was one time after Acher died that Acher's daughter came to Rebbe, and Amrili, Rebbe Parnasini, she was poor, she needed a Parnasa. So Amrla, he said to her, Bas Miat, whose daughter are you? Amrla, Bito Shal Acher Ani, I'm Acher's daughter. Amrla, Rebbe said to her, Adai Yish Mizaru Ba'olam, really, Acher still has descendants in this world? V'haksiv, Lo Nin Lo V'lo Nechad Ba'amo, Bein Sardim B'urav, that we have a tradition that Rishoyim, their descendants get completely wiped out. So Amrla, she said to Rebbe, Rebbe, Zachar L'Toraso Gel Tiskar Maisav, don't remember his deeds, remember his Torah. He was at one point a big Talmud Chacham, that in that zechus, his generations keep going. Miyad yarda ish v'sichcha safsol shel Rebbe. Immediately a fire came and singed the bench that Rebbe was sitting on. In a way, I guess he was pogim in the kavod of Acher by saying that how could his descendants even exist, not recognizing at least that he did have some redeeming qualities. Bacha v'amar Rebbe, Rebbe cried and said, Umalim is ganin ba'kach, if those who disgrace Torah, this is their power, meaning Ish comes down from Shemayim and scorches those who talk bad about them, lemishtabchin ba'achas kam v'kam, how much are those who live an entire life of Yer Shemayim, how much are they beloved in Shemayim? V'remeyer, hechi gamar Torah mi pumit Acher. So now, how is it possible that Remeyer, the Talmud of Acher, was still learning Torah from Acher, even after Acher went off the Derech? V'homer Rav Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsev kisisei kol yishmeru das v'tori bakshim yipiyu, ki malach Hashem tzevakosu. What does the pasuk mean that says that the lips of the Kohen keep knowledge in the Torah we should request from him, like, because he's a malach? Im domela Rav l'malach Hashem tzevakosu bakshim yipiyu, if your rabbi is similar to a malach, meaning he's a very high, well-esteemed tzaddik, then you should be seeking to learn Torah from him. Bim lav, but if he's not, al yivak shetor mipiyu. So Acher was no tzaddik, so then how could Remeir learn Torah from him? Amar Ish Lakish, Remeir kra eshtach v'darash. He found the pasuk that supported him. What's the pasuk? Ha'het aznecha u'shama, divrei chachamim v'libcha tashis l'dayti. Turn your ears to the words of Chachamim, and then listen to me. L'daitamu nemar, el l'daiti. So the Gemara is clearly referring to Rishayim, and yet it's saying, still listen to their words, but just ignore their maisim. So apparently you're able to compartmentalize that. Rav Chanina amar mehacha, shimi bas ri v'hati aznecha v'shichri amcha beis avicha. So at the end of the day, you have a stirim psukim. On the one hand, it says, only if you're a malach Hashem tzevakos, you should learn Torah from someone. On the other hand, we have two psukim which seem to support the compartmentalization of the fact that you can learn the Torah and then drop the meisim. So kashu kraya adadi, it's a stirim psukim. Says the Gemara, lo kasha, habagadol habakatan, if you're a great person, you're of the stature that you can differentiate, you can separate the meisim from the limud, then you could do it. But if you're not, then it seems to be you have to be at a certain high level in order to be able to differentiate. Someone who doesn't really know what's going on, he's going to confuse the Torah for the Maisim, and that's going to lead to bad things. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Amri Maravava, Remeir Ashkach Tamri, he took a date, Achol Tachla, he ate the outside, the meat, the fruit of the date, Vishadah Shechol Abra, and he threw the peel on the outside. Meaning, Remeir was able to eat the fruit, learn from the good things, and throw away the bad things. Darash Rava, my dichsiv, alginas egos yarati liros bave anachal. I went down to the nut garden to see what was going on there. Lama nimshul tamachachum legos. Why is a tamachachum compared to a nut? Loma lacha. Ma egos zaf bisham lochach potato betsoa, imash betocha nimas. Just like a nut, it can get dirty on the outside with cement and with dirt and with excrement, but the nut itself, since it's in this protective shell, the nut doesn't get affected. Af tamal chacham, afal bisha sarach, in taroso nimeses, so to a tamal chacham, even if he goes to the derech, his Torah knowledge that he has in his brain is not sullied, and therefore you still can learn from it. Ashche Rabba Rashil Yahu, Rabbi Shil used to have conversations with Eliyahu. Amar Lei, my kavod Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So he said to Eliyahu, by the way, what's Hakadosh Baruch Hu doing right now? Amar Lei, kamar shmaisim yipumi de kula rabbanon. Hashem is saying over the teachings of all the rabbanon. We pumi de Remeir loka Amar, but he's not saying over teachings of Remeir. Seemingly, Amar Lei, am I? He said to Eliyahu, why not? Mishum de kagamar shmaisim yipumi Acher, because Remeir learned a lot of his Torah from Acher, who was not a tzaddik. So Amar Lei, so Rashi says to Eliyahu, Amai, Rameir Rimon Mata Tocho Achol Kipaso Zarak. Rameir was able to take the pomegranate, eat the inside, eat the fruit part, and get rid of the peel. Samar Lei, Hashtakamar, Meir Bini. Now Hashem is starting to say Rameir's Torah and saying, Omer Bizmancha Adam Mitzar, Shchina Ma Lashon Omeres. And Rameir used to say that when a person is Bitzar, what is the Shchina saying? Kalani Meiroshi, Kalani Mizroi. My head and my arm are weak. Meaning Hashem empathizes with the pain that a person is going through. So if that's true when a Rasha is going through pain or when a Rasha dies, certainly Hashem cries when a tzaddik dies. Now, why specifically are we talking about a pomegranate over here? I mean, other fruits have fruit inside and a peel on the outside also. So the Pirkei Kuna says that a pomegranate is unique, as even on the inside, there's still more peel between the seeds. You know, we have an orange, you have an apple, you have the outer layer of peel, and then inside is all fruit. Whereas the pomegranate, even if you peel away the outside, there's seeds that you can eat, but there's also more peel. So meaning Acher had this outer peel, and even when you got into the inside, it was pretty bad as well. So Rameir needs to throw away two layers of peel. The outer peel, and also some inner peel. So Ashkechei Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, the Talib Eber Dedashim Kabachi, he saw Rav Yehuda leaning on a doorway, and he was crying. So Amarle, Shinim Namai Kabachis, wise one, why are you crying? Amarle, Mizutra Maidech Sibu V'Rabbanon, is it small that which is said about Rishayim? Aye Sofer, Aye Shokel, Aye Sofer Samagadlin, Aye Sofer, what does that mean, Aye Sofer? She was Sofer from Kol Osio Shabbatorah. Because there were certain Rishayim who were counting all the letters of the Torah, which was a chashya thing to do. You have to know. Shokel, sheyishokin kam v'chamur in Shabbat Torah, that they equated light and heavy things in the Torah, meaning they kept everything properly. Aye sofer samagadlim, sheyishonin shalosh meos halachos migdal haporeach ba'avir, that they taught 300 halachos with respect to the migdal haporeach ba'avir. Many pshatim here. Some say it means the fact that the lamed goes above the line. Some say it's referring to the Dor HaFlaga, many pshatim here. V'amar Rebbe Ami, Tchos Mea Bei, Bei Doig HaVachitof Megdal Parech Ba'avir. 300 questions Doig HaVachitof fell asked with respect to this halacha of Megdal Parech Ba'avir. V'tanan, nevertheless, we have a Mishnah which says, Shlosha Malachim, three kings, V'arba Had Yotos, and four non-kings. Now Rashi points out that four non-kings are Bilam, Doig HaVachitof and Gechazi, Ein Lehem Chelek Lomba. So you see, Doig HaVachitof, they learned so much Torah. They were so influential. They asked 300 questions by an intricate area of halacha. And nevertheless, when they went off the derech, they don't get olam haba. So if that's true, and they were so righteous at certain points in their lives, so anan, we who never even reached that level of righteousness ever, matheilan, what's going to be with us? So I'm like, shinina, no, you don't feel bad about that, because dogen achitofel and the like, tina haisa belibam, they really had an impure heart. I mean, even when they were good, they were never really good. Rashi says, Rishayim hayu mimehen. They were always really Rishayim, but if you stay on the right path your entire life, even if you don't reach a certain tzaddik level, you'll be okay. Says the Gemara, Acher mai. Why did Acher go off the derech? What was the, obviously he went to the Pardes and saw something, but what were the seeds that were planted even earlier that caused him to go off the derech? So, the answer is, Zemer Yevani lo pasuk nipume. He never stopped listening to Greek music. So Rashi says the problem with Greek music is simply that the Gemara elsewhere says that after the Churban Habayis, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Bashir lo yishtu yayin. You're not supposed to dance, you're not supposed to rejoice. That after the Churban, after the destruction of the Hamikdash, we're sad, we shouldn't listen to music. The Marasha argues with Rashi and says, if so, if that's the pshat, then why did it specify Greek music? The Gemara in Gittin Adat Zayin just talks about music in general. So the Marasha says the pshat is that Greek music has apikorsis to it. As the Gemara says that Chachma Yevanis is usher to learn Greek philosophy because it's mashchalaminos. It causes a person to call apikores, and that flows into the very next line of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, Amrulav al Acher, Bishasha Yomid Beis Medrash, when the Acher would be learning in the Beis Medrash, he would get up. Harbe Sifrei Minin Noshrin Mechiko. You know, sometimes when you think you're learning and you put your phone in your Gemara, pretend like you're really learning. So Acher pulled that trick back in the day, and he would have these like full philosophy apikorsis books in his Gemara, and then when he'd stand up, they would sort of fall out, and it would reveal that he's really had these seeds of that were not so good. So Shaul Nimos Hagardias Remeir, Nimos Hagardi, Nimos the Weaver asked Remeir, Kol Amar Denachas Lioras Salik. I mean, any wool you give to a dyer becomes dyed.
So he's asking, I don't understand. We believe that Torah has this transformative property, that if you learn it, it will transform you. So how could it be that you have so many gedolim that learned the Torah for so many years, and yet it didn't transform them, or sometimes the opposite? So Amarle, Koman Dahavi Naki Agav Ime Salik. If you give the dyer clean wool, it will dye it. But if it's not clean, it's not going to die properly. So what he's pointing out is, if you approach Torah clean, without any preconceived philosophies, notions, apikorsos, then it will affect you. But if you come in not ready and willing for it to change you, then it won't have that same ability it normally will have. Rabbi Akiva, Allah B'Shalom, Rabbi B'Shalom, the fourth person in the party is Rabbi Akiva. He went in and out, no problem. Didn't affect him negatively. That it's fine, everything was good. You could run after me, and it's fine, and I'm appeased by you. After Rabbi Akiva, Bikshu Malchei Sharas Ledochvo. The Malchei Sharas didn't want to let him off scot free. They wanted to harm him. He said, no, don't harm Rabbi Akiva. He is worthy of honoring me, my darish. So Rashi explains over here, how did Rabbi Akiva know to be careful not to look at a Kodesh Baruch Hu the same way that Ben Zoma and Ben Azai did? So Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, now we're on top of Tezayin Ben Aleph. The answer is, B'yasa Mirvus Vos Kodesh, Os Hi Birvava Shalom. We learn from that pasuk, B'yasa Mirvus Kodesh, that Os Mirvus Kodesh, that in Hashem's sanctuary, in the place that he resides, there's a sign. So there's something that indicates that now we're approaching his place. So Rabbi Akiva just knew what that sign was, and he knew to stay away once he reached that point. Again, same shot. There's a sign near where HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides that's too intense that Rabbi Akiva knew to stay away. Hashem Tzavako Shemo Adonhu B'Tzeva Shalo. That again, he is unique in his own spot, and you know where to draw the line. Hashem's not in the wind, Hashem's not in the noise, Hashem's not in the fire, Hashem's in the silence. So Rabbi Akiva, as he was approaching, once he heard that silence, he knew Hashem was there, and he knew to stay away, and that essentially concludes the topic of the Pardes and Elisha ben Avuya of Acher. We'll stop there.